שלום, אנחנו לומדים מספר.
Hello, we are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, page 865 in volume 3. We're reading part 10. There's no English text. The first ibur in Zeranpin. You can ask questions on Kab.tv, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Study of Ten Sefirot, volume 3, page 865, part 10. Ibur Rishon de Zeranpin, the first ibur of Zeranpin.
Okay, of course it's not on our degree, as we've explained here. There is, on part of the system, the worlds and the fields of fame and everything, there's a very deep scrutiny. But we're studying it in order to draw the reforming light. And therefore, we don't mind whether we attain these things or we don't. But that one way or another, it's about us. That even though that we're not there yet, but in terms of the O Makif, we can get the forces and the illumination from it in advance. Therefore, the main thing is to be together in one inclination, help each other to stay focused, and let's go.
The first Ibur of Zeranpin, item 1. When Zon came to be corrected after Abba Ve'ima were corrected, they needed to be corrected by the Ibur, the conception. So the lights of the 6 points of Zeranpin would enter the Ibur into the womb of his mother. And there, the broken vessels that came down to Buriah and corrected there were also sorted.
Again.
When the Zon came to be corrected after Abba Ve'ima were corrected, their correction needed to take place by Ibur, conception, where the lights of the 6 points of Zeranpin would be conceived inside the womb of his mother, and there also sorted the broken vessels that came down to Buriah and were corrected there.
Meaning the Rishimot of Zon need to enter Abba Ve'ima. Abba and Ima are ready for it. And Zon, mainly the Zeranpin, has to enter the Ibur in Abba and Ima, especially in Ima. Enter meaning what? Because the Zeranpin is still only in Rishimot. And from the Rishimot, it has to go through a series of actions so that from the Rishimo it will become a Partsuf. And for it to continue growing later on, not in his mother's womb, but also outside of it. This is already the matter of birth. Opnimi.
Inner light. Adam 1. When Zon came to be corrected after Abba Ve'ima were corrected, he already knew from the previous parts that the matter of spiritual time, meaning in the beginning and later, that is describing the elicitation of the upper light, means cause and consequence, because every cause precedes its consequence, since it is the cause of the consequence that will come out of it. Therefore, this consequence cannot come out and be revealed except following its cause. Therefore, the cause is considered the preceding one and the beginning, and the consequence is considered later and after.
So we have to imagine that we are a Rishimo, that maybe we have to perform certain actions that depend on us. These could be very little actions that are barely dependent on us, but somehow, yes, we have to participate in it somehow. Maybe not. That it's not that we're entering Ima forcefully to impregnate her and so on, but that, and also that we cleanse ourselves by the upper force from the different disturbances that can stand in our way in our entrance into Ibur. But actually, we imagine ourselves as the Zeranpin that's in the meantime in the Rishimot that we have to scrutinize, and to start doing the ibur in ima by the upper force.
And it's written, when Zon came to be corrected after the correction of Abba Ve'ima, since Abba Ve'ima are the cause for before the Zon, because they are corrected and they emanate them by their zivugim, their couplings. As it's written, and as it's going to be written ahead, and it was written before, that the achap of Abba Ve'ima, which are their posterior achoraim, that were cancelled from them during the shattering of the vessels, they fell to the place of Zon, meaning they connected and became 1 degree with Galgalta Ve'naim of Zon, without any difference between them whatsoever.
That the achap of Abba and Ima in the world of Nikudim gave Zon Gadlut, and because Zon, as a result of this Gadlut, broke, then Achap of Abba and Ima were cancelled. And then, there is if with the Galgalta and the Naim of Zon on 1 degree, on the same level.
And because they are adhered to one another, you find that after Abba Vima were corrected in their entire Gadlut, meaning after they brought up their Ahoraim, their posterior, and returned them to their degree, then the Galgalta Ve'naim of Zon also came up with these Achap to the place of Abba Ve'ima, since they are adhered with them, as explained. Therefore, the Zivugim, the couplings of Abba Ve'ima, are beneficial to Galgalta Ve'naim of Zon, and in this way, they grow and correct by Abba Ve'ima. Therefore, before Abba Ve'ima themselves were corrected, it was not time for the correction of Zon.
Meaning, we're connected with the Achap of the Upper, and if the Achap of the Upper receives Gadlut, then we, along with it, also begin our correction. Now probably the question is, how can we cause Gadlut to Abba and Ima, meaning to activate their Achap? And by what actions? Because by that we actually can activate the entire process. Yeah.
The womb of his mother, and there the were sorted also the vessels that were shattered. The womb of the Ima, meaning from Tabu and below.
Of Bina.
Which are the four Sfirot Tanhim of Ima. And their principle is the main line of Ima, which is Tiferet and Yesod. And this place, meaning from Tabu down to Yesod, is called the womb of Ima, or her stomach, her belly.
This is where the place of Zivug is. This is the place of work in the middle line of Zad Dabina.
And the matter of the ascent of Zon there was explained in the previous text. Because when the posterior of Ima, who are their fallen Achap, returned and connected with her to a degree,
to Galgalta Enanai, meaning to Atzilut,
you find that Galgalta Ve'naim and Zon ascend with them together,
with the Achap of Ima,
and connect also to Ima. And since they were in 1 degree when they fell, adhere to one another, they are now also, when these Achoraim, this posterior, return to Ima, they are also now adhered to one another.
Meaning Ima lifts her Achoraim, and along with the Achoraim of Ima, immediately rise the Reshimot of the Galgalta and the Naim of Zon.
And you already know that these Achap are Zat of Bina of Ima, and Chotem and Peh of hers, from which you get the new Nehi of hers, where the two lower thirds below, the two lower thirds of Tiferet from Chazen below, are Zat of Bina, because Tiferet is Bina of Chasadim, as we know. And Nehi are Chotem and Peh, meaning her zone. And by that you'll understand that the place of adhesion of Kagalta Venaim of Zon in the Ahap of Ima is from the place of Tabur down to Siyum of Tiferet and Yesod, the ending of Tiferet and Yesod, which is the middle line, where it is the place of Zivug, and is the place of the Atzmuto of this Partsuf, of Tenhi, because the extremities in every place, which are not the main thing of the Partsuf, as we know, although the main root of Zon are adhered only in her Yesod, because there is the Zon of Ima herself. Indeed, thanks to these Zivugim, these couplings of Abba Ve'ima there, he receives into himself the degree of Bina until he becomes the thigh of his mother completely. And then, as he continues the months of his conception, of his impregnation, he goes and he rises from Yesod upwards until her port of Chazeh, and not above it. Because there, the fallen Achav already conclude there, and they return to her in her state of Gadlut. Therefore, up to there, the Zon have connection and adhesion, and not above her Chazeh, who are Kelim of Panim, who never had any contact and connection with the Zon.
Meaning, in the ascent up to the upper third of Tiferet, including Zon, have to ascend there during the month of pregnancy. Afterwards, they rise higher, but already in Yenika, in a more external way toward its mother. And the middle line of Bina is the place of the Zivug, the place of pregnancy, and this is where the entire place where the Zon are, they grow and ripen, is. The only question is regarding us. How can we cause this process to take place? First, to awaken the upper Ima, so it will raise our Rashimot and will start influencing us, developing us in her belly. What do we have to do for that? And here in the meantime, the Zon does not exist. We really don't exist in spirituality. But in what corporeal way? There is the matter of the corporeal world here, our current existence, that even though that we're not yet in spirituality, still we can awaken the upper to work on us. This is the matter of the work that we're trying to do. In connection, in the group, in the studying, and so on. Okay, we'll further scrutinize this a bit later. The main thing is that it is obvious that in this we have to resemble the upper. If I want to be in the lower third of the Tiferet of Ima, namely, in the middle line, then I have to actually know what are the qualities, the traits, and to some extent, somewhat externally, even though that I'm incapable, but externally, yeah, I can, as if, resemble it. That's enough in order to awaken the reforming light, the Maor Mekif. The Maor Mekif, we can awaken it even if we're still in order to receive. Because our in order to receive is in order to receive corporeal pleasures, not spiritual. To receive spiritual pleasures in order to receive, this is a klipa. But in this, we're not influencing the spiritual world, not for better and not for worse. So even the tiniest inclination toward Ima, even though that it's not clean yet, still it activates the Or Mekif. Go ahead.
The broken vessels that came down to Bria and were corrected there. Because the Zivugim, the couplings that took place on the Roshimot of Galgalta Ve'naim of Zon that are adhered in the Yesod of Ima, they return the lights that belong to these Roshimot. meaning the lights that were there before the shattering of the vessels. And then, after the completion of the Rishimot, those vessels are pulled up and rise from Bia. And the corrected Rishimot return to their vessels and clothe in them as in the beginning, meaning as they were clothed in them before the shattering of the vessels. And this is what he means when he says, and there they're sorted the vessels that shattered and came down to Bria. Because the correction of the Rishimot that are included in the Zivugim, the couplings of Abba Ve'ima, come only to the Kelim and the sparks that fell to Bria, that relate to these Rishimot. Because the Rishimot, in and of themselves, do not require any correction, since they are remnants of those lights that departed from the vessels during their shattering. And the lights do not get blemished, rather they only depart and return to their root. And only the receivers, who are the vessels of the Pratsuf, need correction, or rather can be shattered and be corrected. Where during their shattering, they cannot receive the lights, and during their correction, they can receive them. And understand and remember this. And the Rishimot are the matter that remains after the departure of the light, in order to return and extend the same measure of light that was in the vessels in the beginning. Although it's necessarily so that the Rishimot is light, as the light that departed and went up. If not, it would not be called a Rishimot and remnants of the light.
Let's take it again from the Kelim.
The broken vessels that went down to Bria and corrected there. Because the Zivugim, the couplings that took place over the Rishimot of Klal Teva and Naim of Zon that are adhered to Yesod of Ima, return the lights that belong to this Rishimot, meaning the lights that were in them before the shattering of the vessels. And then, after the completion of the Rishimot, those vessels are also pulled and rise from Bia. And the Rishimot, the corrected Rishimot, return to their vessels and clothe in them as in the beginning, meaning as they were clothed in them before the shattering of the vessels. And this is what he means when he writes, and there were sorted also the broken vessels that went down to Bria. Because the correction of the Rishimot that are included in the Zivugim, the couplings of Abba Ve'ima, comes only to the vessels and the sparks that fell to Bia, that relate to those Rishimot. Because the Rishimot in and of themselves do not require any correction, since they are remnants of the lights that departed from the vessels during their shattering, and the lights cannot be blemished, rather only depart and return to their root. And only the receivers, who are the vessels of the Pratsuf, only they can be corrupted and corrected. Where during their corruption, they cannot receive the lights, and during their correction, they can receive them. And understand and remember this. And the matter of the Rishimot are the part that remains after the departure of the light, in order to return and extend the same measure of light that was in the vessels in the beginning. Although it's necessarily so that the Rishimot is light, just like the light that departed and ascended. If not so, it would not be called Rishimot and remnants of the light.
Meaning, there were desires with the intention or to bestow, and to the extent of the measure of the intention to bestow, these desires were filled with light, according to the equivalence of form between the intention and the light. The intention was ruined, became corrupted, inverted into in order to receive, the light departed, and what was left was the Rishimot. The Rishimot is also the light that can remain in the Kli, even though the Kli is now broken, that it is in order to receive. But the portion of light that remains in it is so tiny that it is impossible to use it in order to receive. But it is only possible to awaken it in order to return to, in order to bestow. And this is called Rishimo. Right? Yeah.
The Rishimo that revives the vessel. It gives it direction, right, to where to return to.
Right.
But the vessel is shattered.
So it has to do some work in order to revive itself. But the Rishimo, it shakes up the clean.
It doesn't encourage it to grow the will to receive because it's broken? Doesn't pull him in the opposite direction?
No. No. You're right that as if this is how it's supposed to be. But the Rishimo is from the light that departed. In the lights and the Orot, there's no difference. There's no shattering, there's no change. Their nature remains the same. So the Kli awakens and feels from the light that remains as a Rishimo, how opposite to the light it is. And then as a result, it starts coming back to life. Yeah?
Rav, Rishimo is a vessel or light? It says it's light, but it appears like a vessel because it's what awakens the entire system later.
Rishimo is the roshim, the impression from the light that previously was there and departed due to the loss of the masach, and as if shines upon it from afar. This is how we put it. There's no far or close, but this is how we say, in order to point out that it's a very tiny light that you can't use for pleasure, but only in order to awaken yourself toward corrections.
We learn that everything that operates the system is the Rishimo that rise and you make Sivukim on them.
Right.
So it seems as if the Rishimo are making all the process, not the desire.
The desire is broken. The desire without a masach is a desire in order to receive, to enjoy.
What's the connection between the Rishimo and the broken desire that it similarly occupies?
There was a desire. This desire received the masach. Meaning the intention or to bestow. According to the intention or to bestow, the desire with the masach became similar to the light. According to the law of equivalence of form, the light dressed in the masach. There were many actions there, zivug da'aka, and the entrance, and fulfillment, and so on. Later, happened what happened, the masach disappeared. They wanted to receive more in order to bestow. They erred. They started receiving greater light, which was bigger than the masach, and the masach departed. When the masach departed, the light departed. That's it, because the light holds on to the masach. And then, what follows is that we have a will to receive that as if returned to how it was, but it didn't return to how it was because he received the pleasure in order to bestow, felt the Creator. The measure of the greatness of the Creator, the measure of bestow through which he belongs to godliness, bestows to godliness, to the Creator, all these things now belong to the new will to receive. Now, He wants the same position which he had in order to receive, but now he wants that he had in order to bestow, now he wants it in order to receive. To get something from it now. And this is what happens with it. Now the lights that were in order to bestow that he has received, these lights departed, but the impression from them is left. Impression meaning what? That the light that was in the Kli now shines from afar. But it's as if the truth is to say that there's nothing like from afar or closer or further away. It shines in the Kli, only we call it that it shines from afar. Meaning without dressing in the desire, but awakening it in such a way that the desire can't grasp this pleasure and start enjoying it. That's it.
In this description, you said two things. One, the desire changes after the light visited it in order to bestow.
Sure, it becomes greater through the pleasure that it has received.
And then you said there is a Rishimo. Are those two different things? The desire changed? Rav, there's light and desire. That's it. The light that fills the desire grows the desire. It inflates it. After the light departs, it departs because the light, because the desire got corrupted. It cannot hold it in order to bestow. The equivalence of form disappeared. And then the light departs. That light that can remain, even with the opposition between the light and the vessel, the light that can remain is a tiny, tiny light. It shines below the threshold where you can identify it as pleasure. Rather, you identify it as a given. And that's why it's called Roshimo. So what are you asking?
It's just that in what you described, you said that there's a Kli that got certain impression from the bestow that it had, and now the ones that in reception.
Of course, the lights shake the vessels. The light that came and filled the vessel is the kind of light that is also 620 times more than it was before, because it's the light of the greatness of the giver, the greatness of the creator, the greatness of the state, of the degree. That's why this light is departing. When it departs, the light that grew because of the use of, in order to bestow, the intention to bestow expands the vessel, because the vessel reaches the size of the giver, of the creator, and then the vessel remains big and broken. Broken vessels are much greater than the vessels that were in use, because in addition to being expanded by the use of in order to bestow, additionally, during the shattering, they expanded by wanting to receive the pleasure that they had in order to bestow. Meaning, if you used to sit before the host and you got a little bit of salad, a little bit of meat and something, but everything in a restricted way. Later, something happened and you begin to devour the food and all these pleasures from the table, everything that's before you, you want it for yourself. So you're growing your desire. First, you grow the desire based on the size of the host that you want to give pleasure to, and then it becomes in order to receive, meaning your vessel becomes truly huge.
But later, the next step is that the one moving the system is only the reshimo, the desire. It's like a golem that's still there. Maybe it's big, but golem.
Yeah, mostly it's the reshimo that shakes the vessel. We will learn about it. We will get confused a little bit, I hope not, with the three lines. Because the main thing about the Ibu are the 3 days of absorption, which is the building of the three lines. Because without it, you can't be in spirituality. So it's not just a you gave, you received, you gave. Rather, it's a balance between the will to receive and the in order to bestow, as much as you can organize it and aim it. That's why it's 3 lines. You constantly have to have this adjustment and the fitting between me and my ability, my intention, and the upper one. So for me, it's right and left, and the upper one is the middle one to whom I aim myself. That's it. So neither up nor down, neither right nor left, like with a steering wheel and towards the goal. Those are three lines we will need to learn about it. We'll get to know it. I think we're ready.
Can you maybe focus us, where are we in this general process?
You?
Not we, but what is he talking about?
He's talking about the Parzuf of Bina, of the world of Atzilut.
Parsa.
Okay, let it be like this. It says Atik. Onarich Alpi Anpin. Let's say below it. We have Abba, Ima. Abba Vima, including Yeshut. It doesn't matter, we're not going to get into it. This is Galgalta Venaim of Abba Vima. And they also have Achap. And here below, we need to have Zon, Rishimo of Zon. The Rishimo of Zon.
Achap de Abba Ve'ima.
So Achap of Abba Ve'ima. They are still as seemingly they don't exist in practice. They don't activate. They're not activated. Abba Ve'ima and Katnut. And the Rishimo of Zon must awaken them. So we have Atik is fine. Arichan Pin is fine. Abba Ve'ima are in Katnut.
Katnut de Abba Ve'ima.
Katnut of Abba Ve'ima.
Ve'zon Rishimo.
And Zon are just Rishimo.
Lo Katnut el Rishimo.
Not Katnut, just Rishimo. That's what we have now. Broken vessels come up to here. Broken vessels. They arise from Bia, Bria Yetzirasia. They go up, they arise, and these broken vessels from Bia, meaning Reshimot. These Reshimot, by the light that shines to them, even from Sag, and from Atzilut, where do they receive it? They receive an awakening. In truth, they receive it from Atik. Atik shines with its Tanhi. It shines all the way even below the Parsa, because it shines from below up. In rejection. It's called Keter. That's why everything for it is in rejection. So when it shines below the Parsa, it awakens the broken vessels, and these broken vessels awaken from their shattering, from their shattered state. They go up. It's like rising, awakening from sleep, from slumber, and they begin to, you know, to come out like little buds, and they begin to activate the system from below. And also from above, of course, Abba Vima, although they are in Katnut, they accordingly receive this illumination from above. The important thing, of course, is the desire of Ima. Because Abba is in Chokhmah, is he doesn't feel the corruption. Ima feels the corruption. And that's it. So we have an awakening from above, readiness for correction. And this readiness is like on a standby mode. Ready state. But there has to be an action from below, an awakening from below.
Just to understand, it's after the Shvira of the Melechim?
Yeah, that's in the world of Atzilut. The shattering was in the world of Nikudim before. We're talking about the broken vessels that are in Bia, below the Posa.
But it's before the birth of Adam HaRishon, right?
From this we are talking about establishing the system around Adam HaRishon in which Adam will reside. But the process by which the system is revived and the process by which Adam HaRishon will be resurrected, this is the same process. Okay? Quickly.
Atik ubetzimtzum aleph or tzimtzum bet?
Atik is in tzimtzum aleph or tzimtzum bet?
Atik first restriction.
So there's no division into Gilgalta and Enayim yet.
Towards the lower ones, yes, but not. We have to distinguish between the Pratzuf itself and what it is towards the lower ones. Atik from En Sof and down down to Atik, everyone is in first restriction. And then we have Atik first restriction and Atik second restriction. The main thing is Arech Halpin.
It is if connects between the worlds of Ak and Atzilut.
Yes. Okay, we'll go to the next part. I'll continue tomorrow.
And let's sing a song.
ולא משיעבוד ולא מתוך טלטול אין ישראל נגלים לא מהטירוף לא מתוך הדוחק ולא מתוך שאלה אל הזונות אלא מתוך חסרה בידם שהם יושבים זה אצל זה ויהיה כל אחד מהם קורא ושומע עם חברו וקולם ישמע קולם ישמע קולם ישמע אין ישראל מגלים לא מתוך הצד לא משעבוד
שלו.